and one of my favourite songs, Portugal Still the Man, Olly Murs, Feel the Same, Maloko, Sing It Back. Come on, that's a nice little selection there. I'll try and get as much of it in it as I can. But my first guest now, her name's Nikki McGarrath, and she's from Amersham. Now, she's always suffered from hearing problems as a child, but one day she lost all hearing in one ear. Now, she had something called sudden sensorineural hearing loss, or SSHL. And because of it, she's not been and because it wasn't diagnosed early enough, it was too late to treat her, and her hearing would never recover in that ear. Now, fast forward to 16 years later, when she got it again and lost all the hearing in her other ear, leaving her completely deaf. But thankfully, some of her hearing was saved. She joins me in the studio now. Hello, welcome to the show, Nikki.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So, Nikki, tell us a bit about your story, because it starts with that you've always had problems with hearing.
I have, yes. As a child, I had a conductive hearing loss, which reduced the hearing in one ear to about 20%. But I never wore a hearing aid, because in those days, a long time ago, hearing aids were very unattractive, not the high-tech super devices you can get nowadays.
They were terrible. They looked awful,
didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, I was very lucky. I had perfect hearing in the other ear, so I managed perfectly well for many years. And then growing up, it was never a problem. That became my normal hearing. And it wasn't until in my late 30s, I was in America at the time, two young children, and we were flying back to the UK the following day, and I woke up in the morning, couldn't hear anything.
Oh, wow.
And I realised then how little hearing I had in that, you know, childhood hearing loss.
That must be a shocker. How long did it take you to sort of realise, hang on a minute, I can't hear anything? Was it instant, or was it just, oh, it's quite quiet here, and then eventually?
Yeah, I kind of rolled out of bed and thought, you know, the bird's quiet today, the kids are quiet. And I knew we were, you know, on our way to the airport within a few hours. But then, you know, you don't hear anything. Even your own voice feels a bit strange.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, making breakfast, nothing feels normal. And I knew I couldn't hear. It was very, very muffled. And nothing I could do to make my ears pop or anything was changing that.
It must be very frightening.
It was. And I really didn't know what to do. We phoned a GP who said, come and see me quickly. I can see before you fly. And she said, it's congestion. Don't worry about it.
Oh, really?
You know, just keep inhaling when you get back to the UK. Lots of inhaling, and it will
even with
right
your history. She said that.
Yes, yeah. I mean, and those days I had never heard of the condition sudden sensorineural hearing loss, and it wasn't until a week later back in the UK I got myself off to a specialist who said who ran some audiology tests and just came in and said, I'm really sorry. He said, if you'd come to see me within about 24 hours, 48 hours, I would have put you on a course of steroids and we could have potentially saved your hearing. But it's now too late. He said, no, it's not going to recover. I can't do anything for you. The best thing you can do is to go away, find yourself a good audiologist, a good hearing aid, and that's, you know, that's your future, which is exactly what it is.
So really, to stop it from progressing, you have to get that course of steroids pretty fast.
You do, yes. I mean, sudden sensorineural hearing loss is a medical emergency. It's a little known condition, and not many people will have heard about it. And it's actually it's well named. It's a rapid, unexplained drop in hearing, and it can happen overnight, like it did in my case. And some people experience a pop in the ear, and then it goes. And it's not a conductive loss, not a blockage in the ear, and you need to get that ruled out by a professional, because 9 times out of 10 it will be earwax in the ear, or fluid in the ear that's made your hearing drop. But this is the big drop in hearing, and it is very quick, and you do need to seek professional help very quickly from ENT.
Just how long have you got before it can just...
Well, ideally within 24 hours you need to be getting those steroids, yes. So you need to get yourself, ideally get yourself an audiogram, because the thing with sudden hearing loss is it's all in the inner ear, you cannot see it. And you don't look unwell, so if you rock up to A&E saying, you know, my hearing's going minute by minute, I need help, and it is that quick, and it is that important. You don't look unwell. You haven't got a temperature. You're not. You haven't got a broken limb.
They
you're
have
not
that
bleeding.
Thing where they prioritise people,
no,
don't
that's
they?
Right.
Sometimes
you just don't look.
And it's the
emergency you are.
It's the receptionist as well, isn't it? They've got that thing where they prioritise. Because I know that if that happened at my surgery and I'd gone there to the GP initially, they would have said, oh, I would have been the last one in the queue, because they would have dealt with the old people or anybody else.
Absolutely,
other than
and
me.
I have some sympathy with that, because when it happened to me second time round, it's exactly what happened. I went to A&E, but unfortunately I did have a piece of paper. I'd been to see my audiologist that day to say, second time round it was slightly different. My hearing deteriorated during the course of the day, and it was bank holiday weekend. It's always bank holiday weekend. So, I knew my audiologist, Duncan from Mass and Hearing in Amerton, very well, and I phoned him up, and he said, "Well, actually, I'm here. I'm working today. Come and see me."
That's lucky.
Very lucky.
You had a
yes.
couple of lucky things going your way.
Well, I turned up and he was marvellous, and he saw me. He ran an audiogram and we both looked at each other and he said, "You know what it is." Yeah, he'd been my audiologist for a few years, and we had a very good relationship. And he said, "You've got to go straight to A&E. Here's your audiogram," and that's really important to have because it shows where your hearing was a few hours ago and where it is now, and it's completely dropped off. And that's physical evidence that you can present to A&E. Say, "Look, this is what I'm talking about. You can't see anything going on. I look perfectly normal. I look fit and well, but I'm not. And my hearing was just going minute by minute."
Wow.
It was the scariest
time. So how long did it take them to get you seen and give you some steroids?
Oh, it still took 6 hours.
What?
Yeah, no. We turned up and I thought, well, you know, I know I need steroids.
They should just hand them to you, literally. What the audiologist should be allowed to do is give you a prescription. Or you could just go and get them.
Yes, well, that I do have now because we've now set up a protocol working with
It's a bit late now, though, after you've lost a load of hearing waiting in the A&E.
Yeah, I mean, I have a prescription I carry with me.
Yeah.
So that because this could happen again at any time. I could be abroad, I could be halfway up a mountain or something and it could go.
Mm.
And it's, yeah, it's that quick.
Can't you have some spare with you?
Yes, I do.
I was
carry
say.
Them. Yeah, everywhere.
Where you go, they'd be glued to my back.
I've got various packets.
I have like outfits, but with special sort of bit where they'd go. Yeah, of course.
Just because, because on that occasion, I did get the steroids, but they only gave me one dose.
Why?
No idea.
For goodness sake.
I thought, okay, well, they'll give me more in the morning. So we had to go back the following morning to ENT.
It's ridiculous. Sometimes they actually create more work for themselves.
I think so, really.
A similar thing happened to me when I ruptured my anterior cruciate ligament. I went and they said, "Oh, no, there's nothing wrong." I said, "Look, you've seen the size of my leg. I can't walk. It's collapsing." "Oh, you probably just..." I said, "No, it isn't." They sent me home. I had to come back about 5 or 6 hours later. And again, we went through the whole thing again. And I just thought, if you dealt with it properly the first time,
exactly,
I wouldn't be here
done,
a second time.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was hoping. I thought they'd give me a box and of steroids and say, "This is your course for the next 3 days. We'll get you an appointment with an ENT," which would have been great. But
and
no,
here
I had to go
spies,
back the following day. And the worst thing for me was this was now total hearing loss. I had nothing. Not even a hearing aid wouldn't work. And also, I lost my own voice. I could not hear my own voice. And I was starting to think, well, this is now the future. This is how it's going to be. And I thought, well, I've learned to sign. I'll just teach the family to sign. Yeah, we'll get by. And then the tinnitus set in. I had silence for a couple of days. And then it was replaced by this really horrible machine noise. So it's not even that you don't have hearing, you can't hear voices or your loved ones or your family. You just get this machine noise that won't go away.
If you could describe the noise, you say machine noise, what would it sound like?
Oh, it's like, mine was like an engine. Like a constant hum of an engine, but quite loud.
Like a car engine?
That sort of noise.
Oh, but annoying.
Constant, yes. And I can, and at that point, I mean, I've been a hearing aid wearer for many years and come across a lot of people who had tinnitus. And I had a lot of sympathy for them then because I thought, okay, now I get it. And now I know what they're going through. This is just awful. And you just want an off switch. You just want to be able to say, right, and okay, I get it now. I've had that. Can we just turn it off?
No wonder.
It's really hard.
Wonder they say people who get that can go mad quite quickly if it doesn't sort of stop.
And so, that was, I thought, was okay, this is now the future. I'm going to have to learn to live with this. I thought, well, I'll teach my kids to sign. We can communicate that way. And I kept taking the steroids. And I was very in touch with us and hearing through the time to check on progress, and after the two-week course of steroids, my hearing came back to how it was before.
Oh, really?
And I went back and had another audiogram with them, and it was back to normal.
As it had been before?
Yes, I couldn't believe it. I was working in the kitchen, and when you can't hear anything, you don't realise quite how much noise you make, just clattering about doing normal domestic, simple domestic tasks, like, you know, doing a bit of washing up. I dropped a saucepan, and my dog leapt about 2 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And I realised I must have made quite a noise, and I actually heard something. So I thought, oh, I think I heard that. I thought, well, that can't be, because I can't hear. So I went to put my hearing aid in, and I turned on the radio, and I started to hear bits of voices. And over the next couple of hours, it came back. And I thought, right, well, I don't know how long I'm going to have this for. It could be 10 minutes, it could be a day, it could be less than that. So I phoned my husband, who was in a meeting, and I phoned, texted my son, because he was at school doing A-levels. And I then phoned my daughter, who replied saying it was a voice message, and she texted me back saying, I can't phone you because you can't hear me. So she said, I'll text you. So I said, I phoned her straight back. I said, no, do phone me because I can hear and I don't know how long I'd be able to hear you for. And I so want to remember your voice in case this goes. And it was, a very teary conversation, but very lovely as well. And then, you know, the family came home in the evening and it was still with me. And it was then you realise just how precious your hearing is, because even crossing the road becomes high risk thing to do, because you have no idea where the car's coming from. You have no warning of a car coming up beside you, and you lose spatial awareness as well. Everything changes.
Well, that's right, isn't it? Because your ear kind of bounces, sound bounces, and you can work out distances of things with the actual bouncing of the sound, and your brain works it all out. It's very, very clever. So it must have been very difficult.
It is a very lonely, very scary place to be, and you kind of watch the world go by as well. Because even though, you know, my friends were amazing, they were really lovely, you are on the periphery of conversation because you're just watching it.
Yeah.
You're not hearing any of it, and you're not able to join in the same way. It's very precious sense to protect. I urge anyone who notices a change in their hearing to go get it professionally looked at. Don't hang about, and if it is sudden sensory or hearing loss, you have to act very fast and get yourself the right treatment.
No, you mentioned Aston Hearing, and they're audiologists, I understand. So if people are worried, is this somewhere they can go and get some sort of test or something?
There are, yes. There are lots of private audiologists, and Aston Hearing are based in Amersham and Thame. And they will, if you're worried as it is sudden hearing loss, they have an emergency hotline you can call. And they have a website, astonhearing.co.uk, and lots of information there. And they will actually guide you through it. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, it will be wax, and they can have a quick look in your ears. So, no, actually, your ears are blocked. But if it isn't, they can go do a hearing test, give you an audiogram. You're armed with the right piece of paper that you need to actually get the treatment quickly.
Wow.
And they have good links with consultants in the local area as well. So,
fantastic. So, yeah, so now you've got your little piece of paper, but you've got some extra steroids anyway.
I carry them everywhere.
What are they? What are they called?
Mine are actually called prednisone.
Prednisone.
And they're corticosteroids.
And also, what sort of dose do you have to take?
Very high for 5 days.
Really?
Yeah, 60 milligrams.
60, that's very high. I've taken those once before, and that's, but not that. It was like 7 or just 20 or something like that. But not 60.
Yeah, and they come in little 5 milligram doses, so you have to take an awful lot of them.
Yeah,
12 at a time. It's quite a lot, but it seemed to work for me, so I'm sticking with the program, in case that happens again. But they, thank goodness, and I seem to respond to them. About 50% of cases do recover totally. It's not guaranteed, but it's worth a try. And
everything's worth a try when you get to that stage where you could have total hearing loss. And now the prognosis is good. Just have the steroids, you know what to do.
I do, yes. I know exactly what action to take. And I'm still wearing my hearing aid, carrying on as normal, very active social life. I'm very busy. And I now work with Aston Hearing as well, so I now work with them to try
fantastic.
And help other people who have similar hearing loss. and to explain that, yeah, life goes on, it's not the end of everything, but you do need to look after your hearing and take it very seriously.
Well, Nikki, it's been fantastic talking to you. You're going to be staying with the superfood quiz. It's a cauliflower. Hopefully you'll like that. Sort of ear, cauliflower. So it does sort of work out. But this song I've been playing all the time.
Lovely.
Absolutely love it. Listen to it.
Thank you.
Ollie Murs.